CliffCentral.com.
This is The Digital Influence with Ryan Hogarth. Stories of digital transformation in business, in relationships, and in life.
All right, so here we are, another episode of Digital Influence. Now, as we look across the world, we know we're living in interesting times. We know that there's amazing technology coming. There's all sorts of things we can already do, amazing things that we'll be able to do in the not-too-distant future. But while we look positively at that, we also realize that there are some massive problems in the world that need solving, from education, from poverty to university fees. There are many problems that need to be solved. And I have a theory that many of these problems are going to be addressed in the private sector. I think most governments around the world are just struggling to keep up with the rate of change, and they're left a little bit overwhelmed about what we do about problems. And we see incredible initiatives arising all around the world to address very specific problems. And we're going to be talking about one of those today. And with me in the studio, I have two ladies. First, I have Kerry Hibbard. Mm-hmm. Hello and welcome.
Hello, thank you.
And Sarah Snayman, hello.
How's
and welcome.
It?
So you're addressing a very important issue, and one I've heard about, and one that, even though I've heard about it, not many people do. It's one of those undiscussed issues. So we're going to be talking today about vaginivarsity.
There it is.
There it is. It's out there in the open. So I think, Kerry, we're going to start with you, and I want you to articulate, if you can, clearly there's a problem that you're trying to solve. What is the problem?
Well, Ryan, I think you mentioned the problem quite well yourself just in the intro, in the fact that women don't speak about their bodies. It's not spoken about. We don't say the word vagina. We don't say when something is wrong. It's really hard for women to have the language to discuss their bodies. And so Libresse has come on board. They make sanitary pads. And they started realizing that this isn't like another product that we can just talk about it, you know, online, and people will understand what we're about. This really is a taboo subject. And the fact that there are these taboos being placed on women's bodies is a really huge problem. You know, vaginivarsity is a set of course material designed for women to go and learn about their bodies, what it's made of, what are things called, how to look after it, etc. And the curriculum was made by a lady called Avery Spilker. She's a psychosexual consultant. And when we were making the curriculum with her, she told us about this incredible experience that she'd had about 2 years ago in KZN. She went to a crime colloquium, and the police were talking about how they were really unable to help victims of sexual violence because the woman didn't have the language to describe what had happened to them. So they were saying things like, "He put batteries in my dustbin," or "He watered my flower." And it's really hard. It's really, really hard for us to move forward in any kind of way, from crime sort of perspective, but even just for our own health, our own sexual health, our own personal health, if we can't talk about vaginas in a way that we talk about hair care or looking after our you know,
that's an interesting thing you mentioned that, because even when, you know, on the topic of sanitary pads, or you know, we've seen the ads on TV, and they're and it's like, okay, we're talking about it on TV, but we're gonna, all the liquid is blue, and it's almost we're sort of pretending that the problem. It's a very weird sort of thing.
It's so weird. The category as a whole is not helping. So, you know, you said before the private sector has to come out and actually help solve these problems. The brands are not helping by showing this blue liquid, by showing these white pants, by showing people singing and dancing and feeling joyful on their periods. It's not a joyful time. It's just a normal time, you know. So it's definitely not a normalized thing that happens. And it's not like women have just started bleeding this year. I mean, this is something that happens to us every month. It's completely normal. So you're right. It's time for brands to just, especially in the sanitary wear category, to just have real talk.
Tell me about Libresse for a second. Is that a local brand, a global brand, a...
Yeah, so Libresse is actually, the women who are listening to the show would probably recognize the word lifestyle. They're the old lifestyle pads. They've gone through a name change because they were bought by a global company called SCA, who have this Libresse product across the world. But it is the old lifestyle product, obviously with like new innovations and stuff coming through.
All right, fine. Now we're going to get into talking about the vaginivarsity itself in a moment. But just... focusing on the problem still for a moment, across the, I mean, you, this problem we have about this, are you finding it in a particular demographic segment? Is it across the board? Is it all women everywhere?
It's everywhere. I mean, I'm sure Sarah will take you through some of our learnings digitally just now, but we've noticed it's not just women in the poorer communities or rural communities that are experiencing this. Even on our own platforms that Libresse owns, women do not know how to talk about their bodies, and they are really awkward when we even say vagina. I mean, just for somebody to say the word vagina, we're so desensitized now because we've been doing it for months. And you'll be there too after this interview. But, you know, the problem really spans across. And we're also finding it with mothers. So mothers who have to have the conversation with their daughters about their bodies find it really tough. Mm. And, you know, back in the day, you would have got a little booklet and mom would just give it to you, you know. Yeah, read that you're 13 now.
Read this, don't ask me any questions.
Exactly. So the problem really is mothers are reinforcing it, brands are reinforcing it. So we needed something to cut through.
Okay, fine. So we've articulated the problem a little bit, or to some extent the idea that here's a thing that needs a lot of talking about and we're just not doing it enough. So along comes this idea of the vagina varsity.
Mm. Catchy, right?
Absolutely. So Sarah, what is this? How does this help solve the problem?
Well, Vagina Varsity is a series of 16 different videos and is dispersed with quizzes. It's delivered to your inbox completely privately, discreetly, which we've actually seen a huge uptake in. Women aren't viewing these things during work. They're viewing them late at night, early in the morning, which obviously still means that there is some taboo hanging around there.
Of course.
But it's an ability to sort of consume this content by yourself, or for a mother to watch it with her child and help to try and explain it, or a father to watch it with his daughter. So the series of videos go out daily.
And you said there's 16 of them?
Yes.
And are these done and produced and in the can and out there already, or are they being staggered out? Or?
Well, we have sort of done two kind of phases to our campaign, because dealing with the fact that it is taboo and that it's a very new thing to try and sort of get women to speak about their vaginas, Libresse has instead offered a subscription model initially. So all of the videos are produced and they're on our YouTube channel. They are unlisted, so not publicly available.
Okay.
But then you get the link through the email that you get every day.
Okay.
And then that's followed up. Each four lessons are followed up with a quiz that sort of you can share to social, further kind of sharing your vagina knowledge. And then we hope to, next year, hope to make it a little bit more sort of open to everyone. We want to go a lot wider. We're going to be taking it to schools. We're going to be taking those videos and putting them up as public playlists and really sort of pushing people to actually consume the entire course content.
Okay, well, I guess now sort of deserves an explanation, because this show is all about digital and the influence of digital. So why the hell are we talking about this on this show? And what interested me in having the two of you come and talk about is the fact that it's an education program that is being delivered digitally.
Yes.
So maybe let's now highlight that. Okay, so you've got the series of videos on YouTube. How else do we get this out there? How are you going to make women everywhere consume this?
Well, I actually think so. The videos themselves have had a fantastic results, fantastic uptake.
Yeah, it's been amazing, actually.
Yeah.
Are you happy to share numbers? I don't know if you have numbers.
Yeah, I mean, so the first sort of caveat to keep in mind is that we are a challenger brand, being Libresse.
Yes.
So we didn't have gigantic budgets to burn.
Okay.
So we had to be extremely strategic about where we spent our money, a limited amount. And the shareability of the content became even more important. And on top of that, partnering with the right influencers became the most important thing we could do. So on the videos, we have two incredible girls from the Pop Culture YouTube channel. They're great YouTubers. And through them, we've managed to sort of tap into this very young, very feminist-orientated kind of stereotype destroying women in South Africa and Joburg, and they've sort of picked it up, not just because of pop culture, or it actually has very little to do with the brand Libresse. They picked it up because they love the messaging of it, and they want other women and other people to sort of learn about this anatomy and what happens and break down the taboos. So it's been very much reliant on making sure that our content's strong enough that it actually gets out there without millions and millions and millions of budget, random budget. Yeah.
But even despite not having millions of rands to burn, like Sarah says, in our first weeks, our goal was to just reach 5,000 women. That's what our first thing was. We wanted to experiment, see what people would think, if South Africa was ready to hear the messaging. We reached 5,000 women in our first week.
Fantastic.
Which is really, really great. And you never really hear, I mean, digital is so cool and techy, and you never really hear email as, you know, we did a direct-to-consumer email campaign. It was really cool. But it actually really is. And the engagement rate has been insane. The open rate in week one was at 54%.
Yeah.
And I think the industry average was 18.
Mm. Yeah, the femcare brands are sort of sitting around 18% and lower.
So to reach, I mean, it's almost triple. It's incredible.
No, it's very good. And just on a note there, I do think, I think email is the... There's still a massive amount of value in email, but like with everything, the way you do email has got to evolve.
And,
you know, the atrocious open rates in emails because emails are shit.
True.
And if you make them good and with a proper campaign and so on, there is massive value. In fact, my view is, you know, you add through social, your social components add to a very good email campaign. But anyway, I'm a big fan of done right.
That's the thing right there, done right.
Yeah.
Okay, so from the brand's point of view, is there interest in taking this further? Is there...
Yes. So, you know, incredibly, we have the 16-page response document for if something went wrong, if people hated the campaign.
Okay.
But we haven't had to use it once because people are really, really excited, especially women. I mean, men as well, of course, but women are really taking this campaign to heart and loving it. So we're going to be taking it to schools next year, like Sarah mentioned earlier.
Sorry, on that point, so the little bit you've done, and I understand this has been a kind of a limited thing to see where it's going. Who have you targeted from an age point of view?
Well, we actually kept the targeting extremely broad.
Oh, okay.
Initially, just because we didn't want to leave anyone out.
Fair enough.
We also dropped our age to around 16 as well.
Wow,
because there is an aspect, like, you know, girls aren't waiting until they're 18 before they look down and in their panties and using what's down there.
Mm.
So we needed to make sure that it was hitting those girls as well.
And
we also targeted men.
We
did have a slightly younger targeting on men. And through that, we actually picked up a volunteer male influencer who decided to follow our campaign.
I think that's a great idea. I'm just thinking about my primary school days when you're kind of learning about this stuff and you've got no clue and the conversations we used to have amongst boys, you know, and we're just completely out of our mind. We don't know what the hell's going on.
It's a mystery. But that's exactly the problem. Society just keeps reinforcing, you know, the taboo. So we're going to be taking it to schools next year. We have a plan to, the rest, thankfully, are really on board to make as much impact as they can. They recognize another big issue is that girls stay out of school because they, you know, they don't have access to sanitary wear. So they're making a ½ a million rand donation, which is really cool. So we want to take it into schools. We want to somehow find a way to give the episode to people in real life. So if they don't have the data, for example, to get the actual episodes, how can we distribute this? So are we going to put it on pack? Are we going to put it, you know, where? How do we distribute this to as many women as we can? So look out at your stock files, at your schools. Reach out to us if anyone is listening. We want to take it to places where women congregate.
Yes.
All right, good. So people listening, they want to get involved. They go, this sounds amazing. And you know, maybe they want to do something, you know, some actual work, or they want to pay some money, or they want to just do something.
Talk about vaginas.
Talk about vaginas.
Just reach out, please.
how and where do we go?
Well, for anyone wanting to sign up, you can head over to www.vaginavarsity. If you don't know how to spell vagina, then it's probably more.
You're part of the problem.
More reason to sign up.
You can sign up there and immediately get your emails from the next weekday.
Yeah, vaginavarsity.co.za.
Yes. And then we are on Twitter. We have a fairly sort of responsive strategy on Twitter, so I'd recommend following us on Facebook.
Okay.
Libre South Africa.
Libres South Africa.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And okay. You can follow the conversation with hashtag VaginaVarsity.
All right. And I'm assuming if you Google VaginaVarsity this year.
It's the first and only result.
All right, good. Well, this is something very important. It is one of many social issues that do need to be addressed. And like all of these issues, they need to be addressed openly and transparently. And the more we talk, the better solutions we come up with. The more we destigmatize stuff, the more it becomes okay. So I think what's being done is very important. And I really, really hope the brand takes it further next year and makes it huge, because this is, I think it is very important. So Kerry, Sarah, thank you very much for taking the time
to come
and talk about it. So go out and find out about VaginaVarsity. Search it on Google, Facebook, Twitter, and see how you can get involved. See what's being done. At the very least, watch the YouTube series and hopefully answer some questions for yourself and become okay with talking about it. So thank you for being here again, and you've been listening to Digital Influence.
You just listened to the Digital Influence with Ryan Hoyt. CliffCentral.com.